Hello, party people! I hope everyone's doing well. Today we are going to use an ingredient that I really like in a couple of ways. And it's an ingredient that I always have in my cabinet. I use it in savory ways. I use it in sweet ways. It's just a very versatile product. And of course, I am talking about pumpkin seeds. Now, that may sound weird to you, but if you like pepitas, it's what you're eating. So I like to buy them raw. They're kind of dark green so that I can toast them myself. You can find them raw or you can find them toasted. If you have them and they're already toasted and salted, don't worry about it. You can still use them for this dish or these dishes. But you'll just skip kind of some of the seasoning and one of the steps. So first I'm going to make a Mexican dish that I love. And if I see it on a menu, it's one of those things that I order every time. And it's puerco en pipián. So pipián is a green mole with pumpkin seeds as the base. Mole, of course, is the traditional Mexican sauce that's made with a lot of ingredients and seems intimidating on paper. But when you look at the recipe, it's basically pureeing and then cooking. So it's not that hard. It's just getting all of those ingredients kind of assembled can be a little challenging. This one is a very pantry and standard refrigerator friendly version. We are using, for our vegetables, we're using an onion. We've got two stalks of celery. I've got one carrot. I've got three cloves of garlic. I have a jalapeno. I'm only using about half of it. If you don't have a jalapeno, you don't have to use it. I have, you can also use a serrano if you have that. If you don't have the hot chilies, the fresh hot chilies. If you have a can of green chilies, you can absolutely use maybe a couple tablespoons of those. If you've got like a green salsa in your fridge, like a jarred green salsa, you can absolutely use some of that. I also have a little cilantro. You can leave it out. If you hate cilantro, don't use it. It's not that big a deal. If you have some lettuce that might be going relatively soon, or some tops of like some radishes, or you've got some spinach or some arugula, you can absolutely use a handful of that to kind of get sort of more of that green speckle that you're looking for. I don't have any of those things. So I'm actually using a green onion in place of those things. I had to throw away my lettuce just the other day. It made me very sad, but I had forgotten it was in there. So I also have some dry thyme, about a half a teaspoon of dry thyme and about a half a teaspoon of dry oregano. If you have a garden going and you have either or both of those things in your garden, a few sprigs is going to be fine. Just kind of chop them up. So I'm chopping everything up. I am getting pretty fine with it because what I'm going to do is combine everything in my blender and puree it, and then I'm going to cook it. I am also, because it's puerco, using pork, and I am using some pork stock because that's what I have. If you have chicken stock or if you don't, you can absolutely use water. You can use chicken stock. You can use vegetable stock. You just need some kind of liquid in the blender with those ingredients to kind of get it going. So I am going to do all of my knife work. So I'm chopping everybody up relatively small because again, they're all going in the blender, and then I'm going to toast my pumpkin seeds and we'll get started. My pumpkin seeds are raw. They're the beautiful dark green color. If you're not sure if your pumpkin seeds are raw or toasted, look at them. If they are kind of a beautiful kind of dark green, like an olive green with no hints of any golden color, and they're pretty flat, chances are they're raw. If they have little hints of gold and they're more puffy, then they are probably toasted. So I'm gonna toast mine. I have my steel skillet, my cast iron skillet, or I have my heavy skillet on my burner. I'm gonna sprinkle my pumpkin seeds in an even layer on the surface of my skillet. Get them all out. And I'm just gonna let them go for just a second until they start to kind of make a little noise and pop a little bit. So They're mostly in contact with that pan. I'm going to try to get them all touching. And this is one of those things, anytime you toast a smaller nut, you want to keep an eye on it because they can burn very quickly. Pine nuts are incredibly expensive. So anytime you toast pine nuts, for sure, you want to keep your eye on it. And right now, you don't want to waste food. You never want to waste food, but especially right now. So there's really no way to get them back once they've burned. So what I'm listening for is, and I'm going to put the microphone close to the skillet, are these little pops. There was one a second ago, and now it's doing nothing. Can hear them. I can also smell that they're starting to toast, so I'm going to give them a stir. And if you start to turn them, you can see that the bottoms, or that was a pop, the bottoms are getting a little brown. They're puffing up a little bit. And that's what I'm looking for. So I'm going to let these go just a second longer. And all I want is just have them start releasing their natural oils. So nuts generally have a lot of fat in them. Kids, I want some credit for how many times I've said nut and nuts in this episode. Nuts. Okay. Thanks. Bye. And that's what gives them their flavor. That's why it's best to store them in the fridge, because they can go rancid very quickly. Or the freezer, sorry. All right, now they're going crazy. And I'm going to turn my heat off, but I'm going to leave them in my pan because my pan is still hot. I'm going to let that residual heat kind of go the rest of the way. And while I'm doing that, letting those guys finish up, I'm going to put everybody else in the blender. So I've got my cilantro going in there. I've got my onions going in there. Whoops. I've got my celery going in there. I've got my carrots going in there. There we go. Everybody's going in the blender. And I am not going to blend live, because my blender is old, and the bottom of it is kind of bored out, so it makes a terrible sound. So I'm going to save your ears from that. But I've got all of my knife work in there. I've got my herbs in there. I'm going to add most of my pumpkin seeds. I'm probably going to leave like 10 or 12 out just for garnish when I'm finished. If I had had enough cilantro, I probably would have saved some cilantro, but I didn't, so whatever. But I'm going to add pretty much all of my pumpkin seeds, and I'm going to blend that up. And I'm going to add about a cup and a half-ish of stock. I'm going to start with about a half a cup and see how far I can go. So I'm going to not blend on the microphone. So here we go. I cubed up my pork. That's what I like. You can absolutely leave those guys whole if you want to serve everybody their own pork chop. Do that. It's fine. You will sear them, and then they're going to take a little, again, they're going to take a little longer to cook, which is kind of one of the draws of using these cubes. All right, this didn't take very long at all. I am going to go ahead and throw it underneath my broiler just to get a little bit more of kind of a sear on it. Don't let me forget that pan is going to be crazy hot. And when it is out of from under the broiler, it's going to be under there for about 3 minutes. I'm going to take that pork out. I'm going to put it in a bowl or a plate. And I'm going to add my pipien to that pan, and I'm going to cook that because I haven't cooked it yet. So I want to get a little bit of flavor going on that, a little bit of that chemical reaction going on that. My pork is out. It's got a little brown on it, which is what I was looking for. And my pan is back on the stove. I'm going to add a little bit of oil to it. And I'm going to immediately, don't forget that pan handle is hot, it's been in the oven, drop my puree in. And I want to use my spatula to get it all out. Now this is pretty volcanic, so be aware that there's going to be some splatter. If you've got little ones in your kitchen with you, that this is a lovely opportunity for them to go do something else. So it's splattering. I'm going to take a picture of my stove so you guys can see how disgusting it is. Oh, it's all over my phone now. It's on my hands. I immediately turned it down. I poured it in there. It was real hot because it had been in the broiler. And I immediately turned it down to about medium low so that it didn't go too terribly insane. Once you get close enough, go ahead and give it a stir. Stir it down. And I want to cook this stuff. And so I'm going to simmer it. It's going to change color a little bit. God, I'm going to have to clean my stove for like 3 days after this. You'll notice where you don't stir, it will start to separate a little bit. That's okay. You can always just bring it back together. Just keep it moving in that pan, so that everybody gets exposed to the heat. I have Pippian on my glasses now. Like, I'm completely spattered with green stuff. I'm not joking when I say volcanic. Mmm, that tastes good. So what I'm doing right now is I'm cooking some of that liquid out. As you stir it, you're going to notice the texture changing. Switch to the other. There it is. And that's what you want. You want that puree to start cooking down, start reducing a little bit. That thickened up texture is what you're looking for. I like my sauce with this texture. I like it to be a little bit more chunky. It's not chunky, really. There aren't big pieces in it, but you can, if you want a smoother sauce, you can absolutely put that sauce, once it's reduced, with a little bit more chicken stock, back in the blender and puree it again. I'm not going to do that, especially not today, because I have shocked myself twice today. I almost fell down in the shower. So I'm not going to take any chances with exploding green mole in my kitchen. So what I'm looking for is when I pull that spatula through, it should leave a line that does not fill in at all. Like there's no, it's not really loose. It's about the texture of, I want to say, grits, like loose grits, or loose, never a good word. Trying to think of another food that kind of looks like this. I mean, grits, polenta, that's going to be the best visual for me. Very loose, very loose mashed potatoes is another visual. All right, I'm gonna add my pork chunks back. If there's any liquid in the bowl, I'm gonna add that too. I'm gonna get that all stirred together. I'm going to let this hang out on my stove lowish. I'm at about a 2.5 temperature wise. And simmer. And all I'm doing is I'm finishing up that pork. I'm finishing up that sauce. I'm not really cooking anything anymore. Everybody's kind of cooked at this point. I'm just getting them kind of mingled together. I'm also tasting them, and they're really good. So I'm going to simmer this for about 10 minutes. And then I'm going to be ready to go. I can serve it on top of some rice. I can get it with make tacos with it. This is one of my favorite dishes. As soon as I'm able to procure duck, I'm absolutely going to make this with some duck. So that is Puerco and Pipián. I didn't need to add any more salt because I'd seasoned my pork pretty generously, but I am going to add a little bit of pepper. And if I had a lime, I might squeeze a little lime juice on top. I don't, but I'm not gonna worry about it. I do have a lemon, but meh. And then I've got my reserved pumpkin seeds. I'm gonna sprinkle those on top just for a little garnish. If I had a little chopped cilantro, I would throw that, but I don't, so it is what it is. But that is Puerco and Pipián, kids. And we're going to come back in just a minute and, we're going to make another recipe with pumpkin seeds, but I'm not going to tell you what it is. So you have to come back. Ha ha ha. Welcome to part two of the pumpkin seed, AKA Pepita episode. If you hear noise in the background, it is because I'm watching MTV and they're actually showing videos. So I feel like I'm kind of back in the 80s, which is exciting. So otherwise, if you hear noise in the background, it's someone else in the house, and that will be quite unsettling. So I digress. So my second pumpkin seed recipe is for one of my favorite kinds of cookies. I like to make these when I make a Christmas cookie selection. They are chocolate pepita stars. We're going to spice it up a little bit with a little cinnamon and a little cayenne to give them a little kick and kind of do a whole Mexican chocolate situation. I'll tell you up front, if you don't have these spices, don't worry about it. Leave them out. It's not going to make a huge difference. These are still going to have a lot of flavor. But if you do have cinnamon, go ahead and do that. If you don't have cayenne, but you have like a smoked paprika or a ground ancho, throw that in. I love to add heat to my chocolate cookies because it gives it a little oomph. So what have I got? I've got 4 ounces of dark chocolate. I'm looking at it's about a 50%, so not crazy dark. Percentage, if you see a percentage on chocolate and you don't know what that means, it means how much actual cocoa is in the chocolate. So 100% is 100% cocoa. There's nothing else in it. A 60 or a 70 is going to be kind of a bittersweet. And then as you go further down kind of to 50, it's going to be less and less intense. Milk chocolate is going to be probably around a 25 to 30% to give you sort of a range. You can use a lighter chocolate or a darker chocolate in these. I would swing towards darker rather than lighter. A milk chocolate's going to have more sugar in it. It's going to have more milk in it, obviously. The flavor just isn't going to be as satisfying. So any hoodle, 4 ounces of that. I've got 2 sticks of butter. I have got 1/2 cup of sugar. And I have got 2¾ cups of flour. I've got about 1/2 teaspoon of cinnamon. I've got about 1/4 teaspoon of cayenne, and I've got about 1/2 teaspoon of kosher salt. Again, if you don't have cayenne, you can use paprika. You can leave it out. If you have like an ancho, that's actually my favorite chili is ancho. If you have a ground ancho powder, you can find that usually at grocery stores that have bulk spices. They often have. sort of more different choices. Or if you go to like a Latin grocery store, they're going to have that in those little bags, the badia spices. But that's going to add a little of that kick to the chocolate, to the sweetness, and balance it out a little bit. If you don't have it, leave it out. It's not a huge deal. It's just a little extra of flavor. I've also got, you can hear them, 3/4 cup of pepitas. They were raw, and I toasted them just till they started to puff up, get a little golden on them. And I'm going to drop these into my coffee grinder, and I'm going to grind them up. I'm looking for the texture of, let's see, graham cracker crumbs? A little coarser than graham cracker crumbs. Let's see if I can get these all into my coffee grinder. If you don't have a coffee grinder, you can use a little food processor or a blender even. Just be careful that you don't cross over from ground to butter, because that can happen with nuts as they start to heat up and their oils start to release. Shaking that down. It's kind of a mix. It's got some really fine parts and some really coarse parts, and that is okay. There was actually some sugar in this coffee grinder because I forgot that I had made, was out of confectioner sugar, so I ground some sugar in it. And so there's a little sugar left. That's okay. It's going to be fine. It's going to be just fine. So, as always, photos of the ingredients are on the Instagram page, Stir Crazy Pod Instagram. You can check that out for what these things should look like. I have melted one of my sticks of butter and my chocolate just until they're melted, and then I let that hang out for a few minutes just until it's not crazy hot anymore. It's still a little warm. That's okay. And I'm going to add the rest of my butter. And I'm going to add my sugar. Now, you can use a mixer. I'm not going to. I'm going to live on the edge. And I'm going to cream this butter by hand. And all I'm doing is pressing it against the side of the bowl, getting that all mixed in, all kind of incorporated. My butter, of course, is at room temperature, so it shouldn't take too terribly long to incorporate into the mix. You can use a mixer if you want, if you're more comfortable with that. I'm not going to. I don't want to. The residual heat from that chocolate and butter that I melted is melting a little bit, is kind of helping the... The residual heat from the chocolate that I melted and butter that I melted are kind of helping that process along. And as I stir it, I cool it. I add air. All right. It's pretty much incorporated at this point. I don't know if I said this already, but my sugar is in there too. And I'm going to add all of my dry ingredients. So I put them all in the same bowl. And they're going into the mix. And I'm going to stir, 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 stir. I like shortbread because it doesn't have any eggs in it. So if you have trouble finding eggs and you're sad because you want to make cookies, you can make shortbread and you don't need eggs. So there you go. If you can hear it in the background, Weezer is playing. All right, so I've got my dough mixed together. I added my dry ingredients and it's stiffened up super fast. I'm seeing a couple of little traces of butter left, and I'm just using the back of my spoon to smear those in. It's a pretty stiff dough,
which it should be, because we're going to actually have to roll these guys out. Okay. Give it a taste. Mmm. Another fun thing about shortbread is you can taste it without having to worry about getting salmonella. I've had salmonella. It is not fun. I do not recommend as a diet plan. And I still, the last time I got salmonella, I've had it twice. The last time I got salmonella, I tried to eat Cheez-Its when I started to feel better, and they made me so violently ill that I have not been able to eat Cheez-Its since. And this was probably, at least 3 years ago. No, at least 4 years ago. So I'm stirring in my pepitas. Again, this is a very stiff dough. And all I'm really doing, rather than stirring, is I'm just kind of mashing everything together with the back of my wooden spoon. And getting it all distributed. So I've got that pepita-ness all the way through. Taste it again. Mmm, it's really good. Okay. So, at this point, if I didn't want to go ahead and just make cookies, I could throw the dough, wrap the dough up in plastic. Ooh, it's got a little heat. Wrap the dough up in plastic and throw it in the fridge. And then kind of cut off slices or roll out, break off chunks and roll it out as I'm going. I am going to roll it out. I'm only going to do about half of it because I don't need that many cookies in my life right now. And then I will very tightly wrap up the rest of it and throw it in the fridge so that when I do want cookies, say tomorrow, they'll be ready to go. My oven, by the way, I forgot to say this, is on 325. Ideally, you're using a bowl that doesn't have the kind of corner in the bottom of the bowl where the base is. Ideally, you're using a bowl that's all smooth on the inside. If you do use a bowl that has that little crease, make sure that you don't have any flour or, it's 420 on 420, dude. Any flour or dry ingredients caught in the bottom, because that'll affect the texture of your cookies. So I'm putting my hunk of dough, again, about half that dough, out on or onto a floured surface. I'm using a cutting board. And I'm flouring my rolling pin as well, so the dough doesn't stick. Pretty fragile. And I'm going to roll it to a little less than a quarter of an inch thick. And it's not important that you get out your micrometer and measure the thickness. What is important is that it's all about the same thickness. I'm going to go under it with my bench scraper just to loosen it up and make sure it's not going to stick when I try to pick up the cut cookies. I don't have any cutting, cookie cutters. But what I do have are little juice glasses, little wine. They're actually Moroccan tea glasses. And that's what I'm going to use to cut my cookies out. These are not like biscuits. You can twist the cutter. You don't have to worry about hurting the layers. And then they're going to go onto my sheet. They're going to be an inch or so apart on that baking pan. So I'm probably going to get about a dozen on a baking pan. And I will just push those scraps back together and I will roll them again. Do y'all hear Elton John in the background? I remember seeing The Lion King with Michael Reeves and Scott Rakowski. I can't remember who else was there, but we saw it at Vista Ridge Mall. And that's the whole story that I'm going to tell. Okay. I am rolling out my second round of dough. And they're going to go into the oven. And they're going to bake for about 15 minutes. The one trick, the one thing about chocolate cookies is you can't really judge by color because they're already dark brown. So you have to kind of gauge it by the texture and kind of the appearance. If you haven't seen the movie Rocket Man, it is so good, about Elton John. It is so good. If you have Apple TV, or I think certain cable providers as well, are offering a movie channel called Epix free right now. And Rocket Man is one of the offerings. I super, super recommend it. It's so, so good. And Taron Egerton is very, he's great in it. And he's great in, if you saw The Kingsman, he's the main guy in The Kingsman. And if you haven't seen that, I super recommend that too. All right. These guys go in the oven, 325, 15 minutes. And then we're going to have some cookies. It has been 15 minutes straight up. They are good to go. What you are looking for with these guys is if you want to try, I mean, they're hot, obviously, so don't burn yourself. But if you want to try to pick one up, they should lift right up off of that parchment. They're pretty firm. They're going to be a little crumbly when they're so hot. But you want to let those guys stand and cool down for at least 10 minutes before you really start to pick them up, because they will kind of disintegrate. So I came out with a dozen. That's all. That's what I'm going to do today. Let that pan cool off in between batches a little bit, or, you know, use two and rotate so that the pan heats up at the same time as the cookies. Otherwise, the bottoms will heat up a little more quickly than the tops and you won't get even baking. Like I said, these are on my Christmas cookie tray every year. If you do make them, they're a nice break from sugar cookies or all of those chocolatey, super intensely sweet things that you get every year. So these are kind of a little bit softer in flavor. The heat comes through. The chocolate is there. It's just not overpowering sweet. It's not just overpoweringly sweet. Give them a try if you've got pepitas in your pantry. And let me know what you think about them. Let me know how they turn out. Thank you guys again for listening, and stay safe. It's all happening, y'all. Bye.